Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin. The podcast dedicated to looking at the silence after failed jokes and wondering why that happened and how to never have it happen again. This episode is going to be intense. We're due for an intense one. I recently realized that I was very happy, and one of the reasons is because I'm married. And I think that life is a lot easier for men when there's a reason to do stuff. I realized that most of my life is just trying to get my wife to say, "That's great. I'm really impressed." Like the other day, I stopped and texted my wife, "I'm at 9 miles. And I just waited for her to go, "That's really impressive." And then I was like, "Oh, good." And I think that's kind of great because things can be so abstract that you never know if you've accomplished anything when you're competing against yourself or abstract concepts. But when you're just trying to make one person be like, "Good work, I'm really impressed by you," it makes life a lot easier. Okay, so I have a story for you. I just got back from Boston, so it sprung an intense episode. Boston. A year and a half ago, I hosted the Art Director Guild Awards. The room, I've hosted it 3 times now, but a year and a half ago was my second time hosting it. And the room was full of a lot of the wealthiest, most talented, and powerful people in Hollywood, which means the world. Biggest influencers in the world. I mean, it was crazy. It was like, it looked like the Oscars, and I'm hosting it. Long story short, I destroyed. I know I sound arrogant right now, but I have to lay this out in order to make my next point, which is not arrogant. It's quite the opposite. Got to set up the rise of Icarus before the fall. I crushed. I wrote them a song, did a strong monologue when the teleprompter broke, and I just did more stand-up. I'll give you an example of the level of crushing. This is a clip of Anne Hathaway right after I introduced her.
Who else here is a massive fan of Owen Benjamin now? He's so incredible.
Okay, that's how hard I was crushing. Anne Hathaway was like, "He's incredible." And then she started singing my song it was insane. Okay, I created something beautiful. Like, I didn't create it, but I pulled it out of people and made them feel safe and happy and proud. And after the show, a guy came up to me and was like, "That was amazing. I'm a literary agent. Stay in touch with me." And he gave me his card, probably lost it in the wash. Amy and I hit the bar with Dave and Raph, got hammered. Blast. My hand hurt from high-fiving. It was a big win. 6 months later, my manager tells me this lit agent wants to meet with me, and he's one of the best in the business, and I should meet with him. So I do. We had a great meeting. Hour of ideas, theories, plans. And he says, "I will sell your book. You're a voice that needs to be heard. Yes, yes, yes. You're the man," right? And I'm like, okay, feeling good. So I write down an outline, send it to him. There was still some afterburn from the love fest we were having. So we wrote back, "Thanks, Owen. Maybe add a little to this and I'll send it around the office, see what people say." So I'm like, "Yeah, I can add more." So I add a little more, a couple more sentences. A week passes. He just writes, "Let's get on the phone." Long story short, he basically told me it sucked. I could hear the angry puzzlement in his voice. Like, what the hell is this? I remember exactly where I was. I was in Pittsburgh doing a weekend at the Improv. And I was walking after a jog, feeling real good, talking to him on the phone, feeling like I was being dismantled. He dismantled me. He said on a scale of 1 to 10, a 10 being something he can show people and a 1 being an actual piece of garbage, it was a 2. Couldn't figure it out. I said, "But this all works on stage." I got defensive. I'm like, all of these things make people laugh and they relate and I stand behind them. And I had never read a book proposal before, so I talked to my manager. He sent me over one. I studied it. I read a book on sentence structure. I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. So I call my mom, who is an English professor, and I'm like, "What the hell is wrong with me, Mom? Why can't I do this?" And after a long conversation, I realized the problem. I'm not good at pages. Sounds silly? Not good at pages? Someone would correct that and say, "Oh, you aren't very literary or educated." No, I'm extremely literary and very educated. It's the printed word. I play piano by ear. My very young childhood was spent being read to by my mom. She was teaching children's literature at the time, so she would read all the books. all of them, like literally just these monster novels that started when I was like one or two till maybe I was 30. And I would play piano by ear, and I was very oral. And my brain formed learning the sound and meaning of words instead of the visual construction of them. That's why I can navigate the complex emotions of a thousand-seater with spoken word, but not so much the printed word. And I learned printed word in high school and college and whatnot, but I've never been great at writing blogs. I'm a miserable speller. My vocabulary far exceeds my ability to spell the words that I know. In that moment, I knew I'd be okay, though, because this is something I could learn. And my muscle had atrophied, because as a comedian for the last 15 years, I write out a full-hour show with 10 words. A word symbolizes all of it. Like Starbucks, traffic, dog, sombrero, Fitbit, Big Bear, Beethoven, amigo, Julio's story, dog story, Pearl Jam. That's an hour show, what I just said. Because if you overwrite it out as a comedian, then you sound stiff and just not funny. Don't sound natural. If you write that word and just really focus on the meaning of what you want to say, you always do better. Well, at least I do. It's almost like hieroglyphics. If I wrote out a show like prose, I'd drown. It just doesn't work. So why am I telling this story? Because it sums up everything. We are tribal, and our tribes are signified by things we aren't always aware of. America is currently obsessed with race and gender. We hear it constantly. Someone's being called a racist, sexist, some kind of gender meltdown every 2 minutes. Sexist, this person's racist, race, gender, equality, sex, race, privilege, sex, race. But something never sat right with me with all of this. It just doesn't make sense. It just didn't make sense. And suddenly everyone is now sexist and racist when there's more universal rights than any other time in human history. Hundreds of thousands of years, we finally get our shit together, and now everyone's melting down. So what is happening? I recently listened to a 16-hour series lecture. Let me look this up so I get it right. It's called Language in Society, What Your Speech Says About You. It's offered by the Great Courses on Audible, which is an incredible asset. I'm not even sponsored by Audible, by the way. Tons of podcasts are. I am now and then, but this is not a paid commercial. This is just, you can literally study at Harvard for $28. Just get a 16-hour class and listen to it and really pay attention. And this one's all about what your speech says about your social class. Linguistic patterns. It's fascinating. When my lit agent read my writing on paper, I belonged to a much lower social class than when he heard me speak. How interesting is that? The same person, same brain, same mind, same everything. Different social classes based on when I wrote something on paper versus when I spoke it with my mouth. He wrote back once, "There is a misspelling in the first sentence." Think of all the verbal cues we hear every day and how we put people in categories. I drove slow versus I drove slowly. Aunt versus aunt, vase, vase. I remember once on the set of House Bunny, Colin Hanks, who was legit one of the nicest people ever, just a man, but he said something that I'd never forget. He said, where did you study? Stuck with me because I'd never heard anyone say that. I always heard, where'd you go to college? Or where'd you go to school? Not where did you study? That was a different social class and it sounded so elegant. Like, I remember thinking, I want to say that more. That sounds very elegant. America, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, we have no overt social classes. They're all covert. In India, the caste system has a very specific dialect for castes. You know, Brahmins on top, Kshatriyan, you go right down until they're the untouchables. So each social class has a word and you're in it for life. That's the caste system. Brahmin, like E-Day, I'm definitely not getting this right, but E-Day means it is. And if you're in a lower class, you say I-D means it is. America, it's all gray area. No one says I'm above you because I should be. So know your place and say ain't like a good farm worker. It's not like lower class people don't have to say ain't. It's not like, oh, we say ain't and you say aren't or are not. You just kind of adapt these habits and you never really know where people really stand, but they trigger things in people. And right now I see that there's like a viral infection in our culture and this is the cause. because none of this racist, sexist shit really hits home to me. We are tribal, but there's too many exceptions to this. There's just too many. I'll explain. I really like the movie The Devil's Advocate with Al Pacino and Keanu. You don't have to say Reeves. There's only one Keanu, except for now there's a movie with the cat. But the last scene, and I'll get to comedy soon. I just really want to make this point because I think that there's a lot of people out there that feel what I'm feeling, and this is ringing true, where they're like, there's something going on here, but I can't figure it out. This is it, okay? The last scene is what made the movie memorable. The whole movie. Oh, and by the way, how fast I'm talking right now means I live in a city. There's all kinds of things. Going versus going. It says how you feel about the person you're talking to, whether it's formal or informal. How you pronounce your vowels is what region you're in. It just on and on and on. And you don't even think about the shit. Anyway, back to Devil's Advocate. Last scene is what made the movie memorable. The whole movie is about the devil. He entices this lawyer to get a pedophile from going to jail. Keanu gets the pedophile off, gets all the power, all the money, ends up losing his family, his life. But before the devil can take his soul, Keanu Reeves shoots himself in the head and he wins. He gets sent back to that moment when he got the pedophile off and he has a new attitude now. And he says, I'm sorry, Your Honor, but this man did it and I can't defend him. And the court erupts. He's a hero, the moral hero, morality. He's mobbed after, and one of the reporters says, a lawyer with a conscience, you're going to be famous. And you see a glimmer in Keanu's eyes, like, I am going to be famous. And right before the movie ends, the reporter turns back into Al Pacino and says, vanity, my favorite sin. The point being that the devil just found a new way to get in. I'm not even religious, but God and the devil is a great binary code to describe the human condition, right? Growing up, I always related to victims. I still do. Whenever there's a scene, I see myself as the victim in it, and I want to fuck up the other person. When people in power oppress people with no power simply because they could, I want to rip them apart. It was always power against the weak. Not weak people, just people in positions of vulnerability getting taken advantage of. I was always pro-gay rights, women's rights, free healthcare, free education. I was a hippie by nature, by blood. But now, shit's getting a little reversed. And this is not a political podcast whatsoever. I don't give a shit about your politics. It's about words and it's about power. It's almost like the powerful have gotten a new way to control people. Politically correct just means talk like us. Which sentence is worth? All y'all are retarded funny. You bitches are welcome anytime. Or you don't belong here. What's worse? Think about it. What's worse? There are many people in this country that thought the first sentence was more offensive than the second because it had retarded and bitches in it. The entire point of my first story is that words, the word someone uses has more to do with social class. It's not the intention, it's the words. Intention doesn't mean as much as the words you choose. It's also not a lack of education. This is another thing that's driving me crazy. When Bernie Sanders tweeted, education in this country used to be free. It will be again. I want to like Bernie Sanders. I want to be one of the good guys. I just want to be one of the moral high ground people. But that is an absurd statement. What is education? When people say free education, they mean colleges. I graduated with a 3.7 in history, minor in human evolution, and I don't know how to make a chair. I don't know how to find food. I don't know how my TV works. I don't know which direction is due north. Or what to do if my roof blows off. Education is relative. The theory of educational relativity. This dawned on me. Oh, and by the way, we're kind of putting all our eggs in one basket, this one kind of education. Because if shit went south, if we ran out of oil or corn or any of the other million things that we're propped up on, we're fucked. You might know the works of T.S. Eliot and how to conjugate a sentence. But if you don't know how to find fresh water, you're not edumacated. There's different types of education. This dawned on me when I bought my mom an Apple TV. She still can't figure out the remote. It's one circle, two buttons. My mom and I try not to use the word excessively, but she's brilliant. She's a PhD, first person to go to college from her hometown. Not even woman, person. She's a brilliant human. Her dad was a seven-fingered lead miner. And she now has, she is a doctor. She can't, but a PhD, not an MD, not the doctor with money, the doctor with hope. She can't use Apple TV. There's a circle and two buttons. Modern society would say, oh, she's old. Oh, poor thing. She doesn't know technology. How sad. Oh, she's not with it. She doesn't know anything. She knows more than any of those people pitying her about the history of our species, where we fit in the universe, how to live a happy life, how to raise children, how to grow old. The virus that's infecting our culture is that whoever the I is, whatever position you are currently viewing the world from, is the right version. It's the overempowerment of the self. Even the social movement was overt in its name, political correctness, speak the correct way. Many subcultures in America will never drop the way they speak because it identifies them. Pittsburghians say yins. That means you guys. Yins, what are yins doing? Bostonians and Central New Yorkers say wicked. That's wicked fucking sweet. That means very. Rural laborers say retarded all the time. Is retarded. It's a retarded amount of work. And a lot of people who work closely in labor jobs with other people of different ethnic backgrounds make fun of each other to pass the time. It's fun. It's a way to blow off steam. The rich and the powerful see this and they say you are wrong. You are bad. And we are right. And until you see the right way, we will shame you. And I'm not saying all rich and powerful people. I know some rich and powerful people that are amazing. They do not use their power to hurt people without power. Those aren't the people I'm talking about. I'm not anti-wealth or anti-power. I'm anti the abuse of power. And being the son of professors, I'm kind of like a cultural daywalker. You know, I fit everywhere and nowhere. Ever wonder why people are always killing and imprisoning gays, Jews, intellectuals, and postmenopausal women in dictatorships? Because they aren't as tied to the rules. The witches back in Salem were always women who were done menstruating with no kids. Because those are the people who could say, hey, I think the whole belt buckle on the hat thing is fucking retarded. And then they burn those people. Jews typically had jobs with international trade elements, and they had a good community. They stuck together. Why is that dangerous? Because when Germany's economy crashed and the Jews didn't feel it, they didn't feel the same burn as everyone else, people got really pissed. Were they evil? No. They just had foreign currency. So when the mark tanked, they had bread. Fuck those guys. Gays didn't have kids, and they could share gym memberships. And teachers are the lethal combination of being educated to the ways of the rich, but poor. That was my family. I can speak the language of the elite, but the same basic lack of money is the working class. And that's dangerous when it comes to pointing out fuckery. Modern fuckery isn't the ostracizing of dark-skinned people, homosexuals, or women. It's worse. It's taking away the language of the working class. It's an assault on the non-privileged. Isn't that ironic? The whole Black Lives Matter assault on white privilege is only attacking people without privilege. The people saying this shit are fucking poor. You really want to take away Gary's fucking trailer? Does that make you feel good? Because the elite don't use those words. They just live it. McDonald's just got kale. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Fuck it. All right. I got to start making this shit funny because I'm really intense. Oh, here's another thing I wanted to talk about. Okay. Nature. Nature's racist and nature is sexist. Those words are now meaningless. Darker people can lay in the sun longer. Wider-nosed people can breathe more air. Lighter-skinned people need less sun in the winter and tighter nostrils, warm and moistened cold air. Taller people require more calories but can reach higher shelves. Women live longer but can't lift as much weight. To say we're all equal is to deny evolution, because the engine of evolution is how our differences reacted to our natural environment and allowed us to procreate differently. To deny our differences is to deny nature and science. People can be given the same rights, the same social abilities, but they will never, ever be given the same starting position or the same resistance to disease, conflict, or any other barriers. We will never be equal. Cultural evolution is at a fever pitch. The cultural genome is going through a massive extinction event. One culture, the Starbucks culture, big business America, power genome, is crushing everyone else under a false flag of equality. And I'm not anti-corporation. Big fan of my Banana Republic pants I'm wearing right now. I love Starbucks coffee. But if everyone is equal and everyone has to speak the same way, then Walmart, Target, Banana Republic will finally get to truly reach their full abilities. And unfortunately, most of the people pushing this absurdity don't even realize they're doing it. They think they're doing a good thing. All right, now let's analyze some comedy. Take a quick breather. I'll be right back. All right, let's analyze some comedy. I just wanted to get that off my chest, and I'll tell you why, because I just went to Boston. And Oswego, first show is sold out, 7 o'clock show. So thank you all for buying tickets. So we're going to add a second show because I don't want anyone to not be able to come hang. So hugepianist.com, get tickets. And then, yeah, you'll see all kinds of other shit. Okay, so I'm in Boston, and this is what got me so teed up, because I've never seen, it was amazing. Don't get me wrong. Had a blast. Some of the best people in the world are in Boston, but they just get so butthurt about everything. Okay. They got mad at the word bollocaust. Listen to this shit. Let me see if this works.
100 million sperm pressed against our balls all the time. Just get us the fuck out of here. And they're dying, and they know they're dying. So they start fighting amongst each other because they're like, we're going to die. I'm going to get out. None of them are getting out. It's the bollocaust, right? It's genocide. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. I like that you guys went, oh, because you felt it. You know that feeling, right?
See, I tried to just roll with it, because normally I just flip out and be like, do you think the word bollocaust is offensive? Like, do you seriously think that? Okay, so I just took it and kind of went with it, and I made it seem like, because that joke is about how women are more valuable than men. Like, we have 100 million sperm, and they just have one egg, and it just sits there. Because we flood the market with jizz, we over-liquidate. And so that's why when your girl gets your period, she gets depressed because she's about to lose $6,000. It's a good bit. But bollocaust is about the fever pitch in which our sperm are dying and we know they're dying. And they went, oh, this is when things started getting really annoying. Okay, Boston had a thing called the Big Dig about 15 years ago where they built all these underground tunnels and it was an absolute disaster. Tons of embezzlement. No city official went to jail, but they stole billions of dollars. And there's horrible traffic there now. So I just reference it and just listen to this. Man.
With their blinker on and no one lets them in. Talking to you, Boston. Ever since the Big Dig, shit's gone south around here as far as lanes constantly being closed.
Okay, you can't hear the woman, but there was a bunch of people that I could hear go, oh, aw. Okay, they're now being offended that I'm making fun of a construction program in their city. Okay, so then we have, what is this? This is, Amy would actually agree with the crowd. We've had many a discussion. I'm doing a cultural appropriation bit about Halloween. I'm not going to play all of it because I've covered it a lot in this podcast. So if you listen a lot, you know all about my sombrero situation. So, but it's the Armenian reference. I can't really let it go. All right, I'll just play part of it. There we go.
And he's like, but you're making a mockery because it's a costume. I was like, that guy's a werewolf. Is that mocking Armenian men? They're hairy. You got to admit they're hairy. They're fucking hairy. If you're offended by that, you have to look me in the eye and say they're not hairy. You have to look at me in the fucking eye and say Armenian men are not hairy.
Okay, so I'm starting to flip out a little bit on them. Because that joke, if I just said Armenians, this is a debate I had with Amy, my wife, a ton. Because I originally said Armenian, if you dress like a werewolf, that offends Armenians. And she was like, well, I have to wax my mustache because I'm Mexican. And that offends, I feel self-conscious when you say that. And I'm like, I never would have even thought of women. Like when I said Armenians, I'm picturing the dudes at Coffee Bean counting money. You know what I'm talking about with Armenians, the hairy dudes. And I'm not even mocking hairiness. In fact, ask Amy. I've been pretty insecure about my patchy beard. Like I've been trying to grow beards for a while, and it looks pretty AIDS-y. It looks pretty Chernobyl-y. So if you're listening and you're Armenian and super hairy, just know that I wish I had that. But the point isn't making fun of Armenians. It's making fun of the absurdity of saying that wearing a sombrero and saying, I'm Jose, this is my buddy Jose B, and if we find another one, we're going to be One Direction. If that offends you, you're a dickhead. And then, you know, he said cultural appropriation. I said, well, you're driving a Subaru. That's what lesbians drive. you took their car. Where does it end? There's a lot of white things that have been taken from us, like polo shirts. Plaid shirts were also taken by lesbians. Fanny packs. Gays don't appreciate that. The act of saying something is offensive is actually you're the one creating the category. That's why I'm so intense about this shit right now, because it's become the opposite. So now when you say, if someone says, oh, yeah, I'm pretty cheap, and they say, you're anti-Semitic, you just called Jews cheap, not the original person. Wearing a sombrero is not a shot at Mexicans. If you wore a sombrero that said, I shouldn't be in this country, that's offensive. Fuck that, because that's a political statement. But a sombrero is basically a gay cowboy hat. And I'm like an eighth gay. Like my dick wiggled at Fight Club once. Let's see what else we got here. So now I'm starting to get pretty fired up. Now I'm like, but see, they like being attacked. And what's the don't say that? I don't know what that is. Okay, so I plug my website, and this is how arrogant these motherfuckers are. A dude questioned my actual website. He said that I didn't own hugepenis.com. Amy, you want to listen to this shit? I don't even know if you've heard it. Or is Walter sleeping? Oh, he's sleeping. All right. My wife and baby are here, because Amy likes to get out of the house sometimes, and it's really comfortable with the improv. Okay, so check this out. You want to poke the bear is going to embarrass you publicly.
What's that, bud? What's that, bud? Look it up right now, hugepenis.com. Look it up right now. Right now. You got a fucking phone. Pull it out, bitch. Pull out your fucking phone, bitch. Pull it out. Go to hugepenis.com, and then right after, go to iwasjustembarrassedpublicly.net. Go to it. Go to hugepenis.com and show everybody you're a fucking dumbass. Come at the king, you best not miss, you little boy. I'm just kidding. You know I'm joking. Thanks. What's that? No, it's fine. I was just kidding. I was doing like a fun thing. It's fine. I don't even care if you go now. But yeah, I really do have it. All right, so now you guys... No, pianist. Huge pianist. You fucking idiot.
Yeah, so that's just a little glimpse into the arrogance of the modern man. People are like, no, you're not me, so you're wrong. Because people are getting over-approved online. Everyone's like, but do you have Snapchat? Okay, so that's the intense version of the episode. I do have another thing to play. I want to read a letter that I really enjoyed. Give me 1 second. Let me find it. Until then, I'm just going to go... Hello. Oh, here we go. I won't say the dude's name because I don't know where he works, but he just wrote, wanted to drop you a note and say that your podcast has been a blessing. Working in an environment, parentheses, out of college, where everyone has to be PC all the time, it's great to be able to listen to you say all the things that I wish I could. I mean, humor's humor. When did intent not matter anymore? I guess too many fake apologies left us in a place where we just can't say anything anymore. Sorry, soapbox moment. Okay, back to the positive. Keep up the great work. You are such a wonderful highlight for so many folks, and we all appreciate your hard work and the fact that you speak honestly at the ups and downs of comedy. I wish I had your talent. Such a gift. Congrats on all your success, and I'm super happy that Walter came into you and Amy's life. Enjoy a cyber high five. Take care, brother. I mean, it's so heartwarming that you wrote that, because I don't always feel that way. Sometimes I feel like my inability to just take it and lie it hurts. Like, sometimes I'll give myself pep talks before going on stage, and I'm like, don't acknowledge what they are. Like, don't acknowledge it, and then I can't help it. I'm like, look at me in the eye and tell me that Armenians aren't hairy. Because if you can do that, I'll stop with the joke. If you can point to an Armenian right now and show me a bald fucking chest, I will never say the joke again, but you can't. Show me one fucking hairless Armenian. So, man, I wish I didn't have to do that. And because my parents tell me the same shit. They work at colleges. Colleges used to be the place where you could say and do whatever. You know, you experiment, you say crazy shit, join a hate group, you realize you're wrong, quit the hate group, start water polo, realize you're out of shape, quit the polo team, become an accountant. Good path. Now it's like everything is analyzed, and the professors can't say shit anymore. I'm not going to call out some of the stuff my parents have told me, but they're left of marks. And they're starting to sound a little like, fuck these people. Okay, so here is, I don't know if you guys joined me for any of my live Facebook action. I love live cams. I'm basically like a clothed porn star that doesn't do anything sexual. But live cams are super fun. Yeah, you can, hey, what's up, guys? What's up, dudes? So I like to go, I like to play the piano and have people just like tell me what to play and shit, and I'll do it for hours. It gets really fun. But I'm working on a song about what names say about you. And this is the first time I ever tried this on stage, so it's not, it's way not ready. But so I want to show you guys what we got here. And if you have any ideas, email me, whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com, about what you think names mean. Like if you hear a name, you're like, oh, that means that person's blah, blah, blah. Because it's I love tribal nature that isn't race or gender, because that's so played out and dumb. Like, it's so funny seeing all these white college kids telling some super black chick rapper that she's racist. It's so fucking funny. Like, it, you can't write this shit. I can't remember. What was her name, Aim? Something. It was some, like, intense name. I'd never heard of her, but I guess she did some racist tirade and every white kid at Yale was really sad about it when she's, like, super black. And they're like, how dare you say that about black people? My dad threw bread at you. You know what I'm saying? It's so fucking condescending. Okay, so anyway, and I'm not even a right-wing guy. That's why sometimes I'll say this shit and I'll get the vibe that people are like, okay, Trump guy. And I'm like, I'm talking about shit thousands of years in the making. I don't, all that stuff is for the birds. That's, I don't even want to touch politics because it's such a fucking dodgeball game that your gym teacher set up just to keep you entertained so that no one realizes that they're doing meth in the corner with their penises out. I'm just kidding. That probably never happened. Actually, definitely happened. Okay, here's the name song.
Names say a lot about you, I think. So this is a song about how I picture every name. Todd means you wear khakis and you downhill ski. You probably drive a van if your name is Gary. Tom's like to peep. And Mary's like to sleep. And Barbie means you are Asian. Friends wear double polo shirts. And Helen's like to knit. Never drink a drink from a guy named Cody, because he probably put some shit in it. Debbie's are always going through a divorce. Sorry, Debbie's. I don't know why I said that. That's a dick move. But they kind of are. They always need to talk. I'll say need to talk. Debbie's always need to talk about shit. And you can bump smokes from a dog. Tiffany's always had a scrunchie. And Lucy's parents did a fuckload of drugs. Never trusted Glenn, but always trusted Jen. Ashley's are thoughtful and small. Jose's like to smile. Neil's are depressed, and Ivan's and Trayvon's are super fucking tall. Just let it in. I know I said Trayvon, let it go. You people are fucked up. That's the funniest line of the whole song. Because Russians and black dudes are fucking huge. Can't wait for this race shit to pass over this goddamn country. Sal's love to cook, and Gary's are all gay. Britney's give BJ's. Becky, according to Beyonce, you have very good hair. And if your name and Bob's have your back, and Carl's are redheaded and have a lot of demons. I don't know, I need an ending, obviously, but thank you for listening.
Yeah, so I think that one's got legs because people want to hear what you're going to say about their name. They seem pretty happy. The Trayvon part pissed me off. I didn't even remember that there was an issue with that name. I was basing it on one of my good friends, Trayvon Free. He's a comic. He's 6'7". That's all I thought about. I was like, he's tall. When I said Trayvon, there was people going, I heard someone go, oh, God. Jesus fucking Christ. Okay, so I got I'm going to end this pretty soon. I'm just going to make sure I don't have anything else I really wanted to. Oh, so I did a morning radio and this dude was colorblind and he said it's really hard watching Game of Thrones. I thought that was funny. I guess if you're colorblind, that show sucks because it's really dark, like literally dark. He's like, I can't pay attention because when you're colorblind, it just sucks. All right. That was one thought I wanted to express. I don't want to say any more intense things, except for I'm still really upset about Cecil the Lion. I'm just kidding. No one ever really cared. They just like being mad. Or Ilian Gonzalez. I really still think about him a lot. All right. And I think that'll do it. So if you like this podcast or if you have any feelings, I'm sure this conjured feelings in people because I said a lot of intense shit. Comment, rate it. If you like it, give it a lot of stars. If you didn't, give it low stars. I like the low stars. Not really. Give it a lot of stars. But it's the 3 stars that always confuse me. I'm like, really? Just like in the middle? So because you got to do that because we got to keep this thing going. We have a lot of listeners now though, which is pretty awesome. I think it's just all about consistency. I do 2 of these fucking things a week because it's the time I can really vent about my feelings because on stage is not the right time. Got to stay professional. Got to keep it going. And I'm moving soon to Saranac Lake with the family because I want to learn how to make a table. I want to learn how to get my own food. I want to learn another education because I've already went down this one. I've read more books than my eyes bleed from the amount of books I've read. And I can always learn more, but there's a lot of skills that I don't know anything about that I want to learn. I want to learn how to grow shit and like find water. Okay, so hugepianist.com. If you want to check out touring dates, subscribe to the podcast, email me why didn't they laugh at gmail.com and be good to each other. I love you guys. Peace.